attacked a year after Nelson Mandela was arrested. Soon after she escaped, she met up with her partner, Ronnie Castrels. They would marry, and for the next 30 years, they would organize inside and outside South Africa. Ronnie Castrels has just written a book about his late wife called The Unlikely Secret Agent. Before Secret Agent. Before that, he wrote his own memoir called Armed and Dangerous, which was the sign that the apartheid police put up all over South Africa looking for Ronnie.
For the latest adventures in modern music, listen to Sounds from the Tall House with your host, Michael Mucci. Every other Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
Action Read Community Literacy Center is looking for new volunteer tutors. 4 out of 10 people aged 16 to 65 struggle with reading, writing, math, and other essential skills. Many adults here in Guelph are looking for support in reading job postings, calculating budgets, applying for benefits, and participating in community life. Action Read tutors are trained to help adults work from their current skills to reach their goals in work, learning, and life. If you can spare a couple of hours a week for the next year, you can make a big difference working one-on-one with an adult learner. Action Read has a terrific suite of tools and resources and a wealth of experience to help new tutors develop their skills teaching math, reading, writing, and computer basics. For more information or to volunteer, call 519-836-2759. That's 519-836-2759, or visit us online at actionread.com.
You're listening to CFRU 93.3.
For the latest adventures in modern music, listen to Sounds from the Tall House with your host, Michael Mucci. Every other Sunday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on CFRU 93.3 FM.
Look at my feet, look at my hair, I'm a rock star! Yeah!
Big Brothers Big Sisters of Guelph provides services to boys and girls between the ages of 5 and 16 to their families and volunteers through comprehensive and preventative programs, training, and support.
Big Brothers and Big Sister volunteers needed now to help children develop self-esteem, build confidence, and gain important life experiences.
If you are a caring, responsible adult who enjoys having fun, then you could be a mentor to a child.
For information about volunteer opportunities, please call Big Brothers Big Sisters of Guelph at
519-824-5154
or visit www.bbbsg.ca.
Come on, the big sisters and big brothers meet you.
Honk, honk.
And the host of Locavore on CFRU 93.3 FM. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Peter McCluskey, who is very busy organizing the brand new Aberfoyle Farmers Market. And There are a number of farmers markets in the province of Ontario, and this is another one that's going to be found just north of the 401 off of number 6, going north towards the city of Guelph. So we're going to talk with Peter today about what the focus of the Aberfoyle Farmers Market is and delve into more about local food being available to people in the southern Ontario area. So welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you, Walter.
So I'd like to ask you, the farmers market in Aberfoyle, why did a need or why was there a perceived need to have another farmers market in the Guelph area? We already have, of course, the Guelph Farmers Market downtown here, but this one is it's about 10 kilometers south. So why was there that perceived need for another farmers market?
Well, a big statistic out there is that most people who go to a farmer's market come from within about a 15-minute drive. So we think that there's actually a vacuum in that area where we're setting up the Aberfoyle Farmer's Market. There's lots of room for a farmer's market there.
Okay, and could you tell me what is the focus going to be with respect to the Aberfoyle Farmer's Market?
Two things. One is local food, that anything you buy there in the way of produce is grown locally, and the vendor are the is the person who produced it.
Okay. With respect to what you do in the farmers market, what are your responsibilities? What have you done so far, and what do you anticipate doing in the future?
Well, so far, I've been a volunteer on the board of the Aberfoyle Farmers Market Association. So I want to just say, too, that there are about 8 other board members, in particular Matthew Bulmer, who put a lot of energy into this farmers market along with myself. So we're all equal contributors. So far, we've been, starting from about a year ago, we came up with the initial concept for the market. Is there a need for a market in this area? What would the focus of the market be? So we realized early on that our core philosophy is to focus on local producers of food and emphasize the health benefits of locally produced food. There's a lot of logistics to putting together a market, from fundraising to organizing, finding vendors and having a criteria for who your vendors would be and visiting those vendors. It's very important that we know of many of the vendors who are coming, or we've visited their farm or where they're producing their goods, so we can be sure that it's local.
Okay, that brings up an interesting question, too. If I wanted to be a vendor at the Aberfoyle Farmers Market, is the board still actively seeking vendors?
We never say no to an application. Right now we're full. So on May 28, a Saturday, which is our launch day, we'll be full with roughly 32 vendors.
Okay.
But throughout the season, there will be stalls opening up. So if you submit an application to us, we have a criteria. We have a vendor manual to follow, and we would consider anybody. But our focus, obviously, is that you're a local producer of food or arts and crafts.
Okay. Now, are you comfortable with saying what vendors would pay as a rate, or is that something that they would have to talk with you about?
No, our rate is $30 per week for a 10x10 stall.
Oh, well, that's very reasonable.
Yes.
Extremely reasonable. Can you describe what type of food products and in general what products are going to be sold at the Aberfoyle Farmers Market?
Yes, and to do that, I had to bring a printout because there are very many. Our goal is to be a one-stop shopping source, and so we have a real range of types of food. So I'll give you a snapshot of some of them. We've got many vegetables, including zucchini, beets, Brussels sprouts, many types of greens, asparagus, pumpkins, kale, cucumbers, parsnips, tomatoes. I could go on.
Right.
We've got many types of herbs, dried herbs and fresh herbs. We have a lot of different meat products, including, of course, beef, chicken, lamb. We've got Tamworth pork and pork products, heritage turkeys, roasting chickens. We have fish from the Great Lake area. And we have sheep milk products.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I've just got to stop you there.
Yes.
Fish from the Great Lake area.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So different types of fish or?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. That's very interesting. Okay. Yeah. Great.
We've got a lot of, sheep milk products, including ice cream, cheese, and yogurt. We've got berries, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, and all these things will be announced through the season. We'll be telling people via our website, our Facebook page, and Twitter what's fresh that week. So part of our idea is to get people more familiar with the seasonality of food. You know, you can't get raspberries in the middle of winter unless they're coming from some foreign country. So when our raspberries are available in those certain weeks in the season, people will know in advance. And they'll part of our objective, too, is to let people taste the difference between a local berry, let's say a raspberry, and something imported from California or somewhere else in the world. So we'll be doing sort of a, I guess you could call it, educational events at the market where people can taste local food compared with imported, say blind tastings, for example. And then they'll appreciate, when raspberries are in season, let's get them then and let's not buy them in the middle of January when they don't taste any good.
Okay, and I guess we should talk about this too. Your opening is what day again?
Saturday, May 28.
Okay, can you describe some of the activities that are going to be occurring at that particular opening?
We're working with the Sunrise Equestrian. They're doing a fundraiser in June, and as part of that fundraiser, they're having a chef-off, and the chefs in that chef-off are going to be coming to our opening day and meeting our vendors, and they will be buying their produce for their chef-off from our vendors. And celebrity chef Michael Smith will be there as well, or it's penciled in anyway.
Oh, chef at home or
yes.
Whatever. Okay,
yeah.
Yes, all right,
yeah.
Okay.
There's also a rural romp organized within Wellington County where people can visit various farms and farmers markets. We'll be one of the destination points on that day.
Okay, so you've mentioned some interesting aspects, education being one of them. So is that a feature that will differentiate you from other farmers market? And what are some other things that make what you're doing in Aberfoyle unique?
To answer the question, what makes it unique, and part of that is the education, is we looked at what do people get when they go to, say, a supermarket, and what are some of those things we can borrow for our market. So we're blessed with parking. We've got a parking lot right next to our farmers market. And that's in other words, it's important to recognize what are your assets that people will appreciate.
Yeah.
So parking is something that is there, and we're fortunate. Another thing is we're in a brand new open air pavilion. So you're protected from the sun and rain throughout the summer. We also are doing things to kind of connect the dots within the market. So by that I mean when the vendors are selling their various things in the market, we will have recipes done every week so that when you arrive to the market, you can get various recipes, and all the ingredients for that recipe will be available there in the market.
Excellent.
You can find this vendor has the parsnip and this other vendor has the smoked turkey or whatever it is that to make that particular dish.
This is something I just have to stop you there. This is something we haven't done with the food movement, the local food movement, is yes, you go to a farmer's market and yes, you buy local product, but you don't get a sense of how to put it together. Rarely do you do that. So this is a very interesting strategy that you're going to utilize.
And I only had to look at myself to learn that, because I, with the great gusto, go to farmer's markets and think that, oh boy, am I, I'm a good citizen, and I bring it home and the kale sits there in the fridge.
So, yeah, so that's right.
One of our board members is a chef, and she'll be helping to put together these recipes. Some other features in this market are, again, when you think of what's in a supermarket that we can take, are shopping carts. We're not stealing shopping carts, but we're going to have our own baskets. You may have seen in supermarkets those baskets that are on wheels with a telescoping handle.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some of those. We also have donated from a local nursery some nursery wagons. So when people are walking around with all their, I hope, 50 pounds of produce from our market, they can load it all up onto their wagon or put it in one of these carts.
Right.
And wheel it right out to their car instead of carrying it in there.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Another is getting children involved. So we plan to have a kind of a game area of the market where when a parent walks in, first of all, for a parent, the market's enclosed. It's actually in a hockey arena. So it's totally enclosed, and that's a kind of safe environment for a kid to just run around in there.
Right.
So a parent can come in and park their kid down at the game table And while the parent goes and sits down at the cafe or goes to the vendors, and at that game table we'll have some educational things like a scavenger hunt where a kid can go and look around through the market for various fruits and vegetables that we've say, well, what's a vegetable that's got dirt on it? Go and find that. So they might go and find a carrot.
Okay. Now, how has the local community supported this effort to start up the farmers market? Because it is brand new.
It's been tremendous, including many of the board members who are from the local community and have businesses of their own. And they're taking time to help make this market happen. But there are many other people in the community who are donating their time or expertise. There are people who've donated money. There are many businesses who have helped us to distribute our flyers and our postcard. And here's a sample of our postcard and flyer. So they're getting put on retail counters and put into shopping bags and whatnot.
Yes, okay, so I'm looking at it here, and we have Aberfoyle Farmers Market, your market next door, opening May 28th. It tells you exactly where it is. There's a map, and so people will be well aware. And I just want to say that if you're interested in getting more information, if you go to the URL www.afma.ca, they can get more information on the market from that
yes.
URL. Okay, excellent. Now, with respect to setting up a farmer's market, what have been the most challenging aspects for you?
Me personally or
well, for
us?
You personally and for the board trying to do this?
It's just the being able to set aside the time, but I've been fairly devoted to this market. I haven't been able to spend as much time as I like, but the real challenge is all the people on the board are very passionate about this market, and I have to emphasize Matthew Bulmer has been a driving force in this market. The real challenge has just been to, and we've actually done extremely well. We've been planning this for more than a year, so there are a lot of logistical questions to get answered, like who will be our vendors, what's our criteria for our vendors. We had to draw up a bylaw for our association and for the vendors, their manuals and application forms for vendors, putting together a website, having a vetting process for who our vendors will be and working through issues that come up. Should we allow this vendor or that vendor? You can have a kind of concept of who your vendors will be, and then when you're faced with the reality, you have to deal with issues that some vendors may not fit exactly what we're looking for, but 90% of them do.
Okay. And now, what you're saying to me is very interesting because first of all, Guelph is certainly one of the epicenters for the local food movement in Canada, if not North America, I would say.
Yes.
There's a consciousness here that you don't see in other parts of the country. Not to say that there isn't in other parts of the country, because there definitely is, but when you consider the population size here and the amount of producers on a small scale, albeit, but that are producing a diversity of products here in this general area of South Central Ontario, it's actually, on a per capita basis, it's astounding. And what I'm wondering is there a situation now, for example, your market where people would like to get in, but right now you're full up with vendors, or do you think there's a situation where maybe expansion maybe in the future? And I'm asking this, and you haven't even had your opening day yet.
It's a good question. I think I don't know many markets organized by people where they do more than one market. Each market tends to have its own pulse,
right,
and run by its own people, and that's the best type of market, because a lot of this local movement is a grassroots movement, so you can't franchise things. But what I foresee is many more markets opening up by other people, and another model I like to look at is Tim Hortons. There are Tim Hortons on every corner. Why can't there be a farmer's market on every corner?
Yeah, I think so. And actually a well-run farmer's market, too. It's certainly, I guess for me, and I've been to farmer's markets in Vancouver. There's a famous market on Granville Island, of course. There's farmer's markets well-known in Calgary. Byward Market in Ottawa, of course. The St. Lawrence Market in downtown Toronto. I mean, there's markets in downtown Halifax, of course, in Montreal. In Edmonton as well, too, in Saskatoon. There's, you know, the famous farmers markets that people can go to, and they can get they're well known producers, and they can get good food from those markets. But yes, they all have their unique characteristic. But in some cases, you go to farmers market, and it's hit and miss as to what you can get. You know, and there seems to be
where it's coming from.
Yes, that's this whole idea of traceability is very very important, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I guess what I'm thinking from what your point is that, you know, we should do a better job of trying to make a farmer's market as much of a one-stop shop as possible for people, since they're there. I like the idea of thinking of it like a grocery store. If people are really wanting to support the local food movement, what percentage of the food that they actually buy could they get locally? That's really the thing. We talk about the 100-mile diet. We have to really talk about putting our money where our mouth is, essentially.
We should talk about the 100% market.
Yeah.
Where 100% of what you eat that week could come from a farmer's market.
That's really the thing. And that's one of the aspects we don't really look at. And there's never this overarching or overall plan. And certainly this country doesn't have a national food policy. That's one thing. I mean, we have an election right now, and nobody's talking about food. Yes, you know, they'll talk about the economy, you know, like it's some, you know, I guess alchemists, you know, black box that only a few people can have privileged information for. But when we get right down to it, we're looking at a situation where the price of oil is over $100 a barrel. Inflation is significant depending on what you're buying right now. The price of oil has gone up, what, 20, 25% in the last few months? Has your salary gone up 20 or 25% in the last few months? I would say less than 1% of the population in this country could say that.
Unless you're an oil company.
That's right. And so here we are, we're looking at probably the most basic thing, what we put in our mouths, because you are what you eat. And essentially, you know, if we could, you know, get our food from a central location that comes with in a very narrow radius, we're strongly supporting a local economy. If we get people, as you say, like chefs involved, all of a sudden people and processors involved, all of a sudden, yeah, we've got manufacturing. It's not manufacturing hiring 500 people, but it's maybe manufacturing hiring 5 people. And these jobs are much more sustainable and certainly less subject to geopolitical machinations around the world. Anyway, that's my rant for today.
No, to riff on your rant. I think that the local food movement in the last 20 or 30 years has been driven by people who have an ideal, but what will drive it in the future, I think, will be economic pressure. As conventionally raised food gets more expensive, and that will be in sync with the cost of oil increasing,
yeah.
The cost of fertilizer then increases, and the cost of transportation, then there's more pressure on us to say, hey, we better be growing stuff here. The other thing is there's greater instability around the world, and we've already seen last year in Russia, for example, where they couldn't export wheat.
Yes.
And then...
Then you look in Australia, of course, the climatic
factors
that are impacting. And I've done a course at the university where they talked about, this is in physiology of crop yield, looking at, well, geez, what type of varieties can we breed for to be really, really drought-tolerant wheat varieties? Well, that's all well and good. There's a lot of genetic manipulation that has to occur. And we don't know ultimately how these plants are going to respond. And if we're relying on a continent that's thousands and thousands of kilometers away, for a carbohydrate that we're getting from a complex carbohydrate that we're getting from wheat, we better take a look again at what we're doing ourselves. And certainly we see it, you know, right now in the prairies. If you look at southeastern Alberta, southwestern Saskatchewan, they've got floods. And growers last night on the television, I don't know if I'm going to be able to see this year. I mean, these are real pressures. And in Manitoba as well, too. And this is our breadbasket. We have to really look at this. And we haven't looked at it. You know, yes, we have the Golden Horseshoe here, and yes, we're renowned for growing fruits and vegetables, but you take a look at the number of peach producers that still exist in this province, and you think about Edie Smith packing up and leaving, you know? So who's going to process, you know, this plant material, these fruit? Well, somebody's got to do it, and it's going to have to be people like, I guess, the vendors that you're going to have that are making their own processed products as well, too.
So getting back to the question about the number of markets out there, and if you have people producing locally, the question is, how do they distribute? And there's a limited number of opportunities for a farmer to distribute, to sell. They can sell at a farmer's market. They can sell it off their farm. They can do a community-supported agriculture. But there need to be more outlets for farmers where they can sell directly and where there are fewer middlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with the advent of social media and the way that people are networked, that has to be somehow integrated into this. We have to figure out how to use it. So I'll be very interested. You've got that Twitter feed, so that's really, I'm not on Twitter, but I guess I should get on.
You should be following us, Walter.
The Locavore should have a Twitter page, obviously.
We should.
You know, that would really be, because we've got to start linking this up. You know, I've talked, and what you say, Bob DeSattel from Borealis, the neighborhood group that, you know, say, and they've just opened up a restaurant in Kitchener. I mean, it's the same thing. He's trying to access locally as much as possible. I mean, it's a bit of, you know, he's going against the grain, trying to get, you know, what percentage of food can I get locally to put on my menu? Not just in the summertime, but all the time. That is the real challenge. So it is very interesting what you're saying, you know, having this holistic, overarching vision that people can actually get one-stop, you know, shopping and get much of what they do, you know, because it's come up before in conversation. What do people do? Well, I'll go to the farmer's market. I'll go to a large, maybe discount store. I'll go to a higher end store. I may go to specialty meat producer. So I'm going to four different places to get my food. Well, imagine if you go to one central place and you have all these vendors here. You know, it's sort of taking the supermarket and turning it on its head a bit, because yeah, it's not coming from California, but if you want milk, you got milk. If you want juice, you want juice. If you want bread, you want bread. If you want meat, you want meat. If you want produce, you want produce. Well, it's all there.
And that's what we're aiming for.
Yeah, and that's is excellent. Okay, now, I want to ask you this question. What do you think is going to be the state of local food production 5 to 10 years from now, based on what we've talked about and based on what you're doing?
Yeah, I think you and I have answered that in part, but I think there, if you look at what's current trends, you can be fairly sure that the price of oil and gas will increase, so that means the cost of transportation and fertilizer for conventional food increases. So then it's that food you're getting from California or China or Chile is suddenly much more expensive. So that's one big factor. Another is there's greater instability in the world, which means that there are certain countries that won't be able to export food, and we won't be able to rely on them as we did in the past. So those are two big driving forces. Then another thing is those things actually affect what we do here in Ontario growing. So there are currently organic growers and local growers, but there will be many more people growing locally and organically, because those will make more and more economic sense. Right now, a lot of organic growers are maybe, you could call them idealistic, but they're really looking into the future and realizing this is the way we should be doing it, which frankly is the way we had done farming until about 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this last 60 years has kind of been a blip, a glitch. And we were reverting back to the way we used to farm, which was a healthier form of farming, where we respected the soil and where we were able to produce locally everything we needed. So I think that's where we'll be in about 5 or 10 years, and we're going in that direction. But what we need to do is be more organized. So your point about connecting things up better, using existing media like social media and the internet to help a farmer connect up with his end buyer, for example. Mm-hmm. So we need to create greater efficiency in the way we're doing things.
Absolutely. We have to think about that with our applications. So let's look, you know, we're coming to towards the end of the hour here. I wanted to ask you some logistical things. So Aberfoyle Farmers Market, what day of the week is it open?
Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay, and there's plenty of parking?
Plenty of parking.
Okay, so I'm coming from, let's say, Mississauga, and I'm driving on the 401. How do I get there?
You're driving on the 401, you take exit 299 and turn north on Brock Road, and it's 3 kilometers north on Brock Road. On the west side it's exactly at Brock Road and Wellington Road 34.
Okay. All right. So it's right there off the highway. Goes straight up, and it's right there.
Exactly.
Okay. And you said as far as places for the kids, if I've got kids, they can have activities there while I'm shopping. Is that correct?
If you've got kids, it's great because you park. You're right adjacent to the market. You walk in. There's one entrance to the market, so when you walk in, you can let your kids run around and not be worried about finding where they ran to, because they're in a confined area. Your kids can go and play in the with the various games we'll have set up, and with a bit of an educational component, but mostly fun. And frankly, some of those games would be good for parents, because some of them are things like identifying vegetables and whatnot. But you can then sit down at the market cafe and have a coffee, and you can sample some of the various goodies that the vendors have for sale. Like you can have a breakfast there or have a piece of pie.